بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا زياد بن مخراك قال حدثني تيسلة بن مياس قال: كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر، فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما، قال: ما هي؟ قلت: كذا وكذا. قال: ليست هذه من الكبائر، هن تسع: الإشراك بالله، وقتل نسمة، والفرار من الزحف، وقذف المحصنة، وأكل الربا، وأكل مال اليتيم، وإلحاد في المسجد، والذي يستسخر، وبكاء الوالدين من العقوق. قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما: أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة؟ قلت: إي والله. قال: أحي والداك؟ قلت: عندي أمي. قال: فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأتأمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر. تيسلة ابن مياس رحمه الله تعالى says that I was with the companions of Amir ibn Najda, a leader of Al-Khawarij, the deviated sect. فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. I made certain mistakes, I committed certain crimes regarding which I was sure that they were from Al-Kabair, they were from the major sins. So after disassociating myself from the Khawarij, I mentioned this to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who in return asked me, what are they? What are these crimes that you are talking about? So I said, kada wa kada, this sin, or this crime, or this mistake, such and such. I enumerated the mistakes I was concerned about. قَالَ لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, these mistakes are not from the kabair. هُنَّ تِسْعُونَ. The kabair are nine. الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَتْلُ نَسَمَةٌ, to kill someone, to murder someone. وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ, to flee from the battlefield, to flee from the battle. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَةِ, to accuse, to slander an innocent, chaste woman. وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَا, to take usury, to take interest. وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, to consume the property of orphans. وَإِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, to deviate from the straight path whilst in the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarrama. وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرُ وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرُ. There are three versions to this part of the hadith. We have discussed two versions already through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we will endeavor to discuss the third version. The first version was Alladhi yastahsiru. The action of that person who becomes tired. Who becomes tired of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also from the kabair. That means a person becoming despondent from his supplication being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second version, وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرُ الَّذِي يَسْتَحْسِرُ with ha. And ha before seen. Second version, وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرُ with kha. The action of that person who scoffs at someone else, who makes fun of someone else. So making fun of someone else, looking down upon somebody and scoffing at him is also from the kabair, is also a major sin. Now the third version, وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْحِرُ with ha and seen before ha. وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْحِرُ the action of that person who resorts to black magic, who resorts to sahar, who resorts to black magic, who desires black magic, witchcraft from someone else. So he himself is not a sahir. He himself is not a magician. He himself is not a sorcerer. But it is his desire to cause harm to someone else. So he refers to someone who is an expert in witchcraft, who is an expert in black magic. So this referring to someone who is an expert in black magic and to desire from him or request him to do this work for you is also from the kabair. So sahar itself, practicing witchcraft itself, is also from al-kabair. And asking somebody else to do this dirty work for you is also from kabair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith which is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, narrated by Imam Bazzar rahimahullahu ta'ala and Imam Tabarani rahimahullahu ta'ala on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam enumerated some categories of people regarding whom he said, laysa minna, that person is not from us. That means that person is not on the path of the Muslims. That person is not associated to the Muslim Ummah. And from, he said, this person, this person, this person, this person, from those categories he said, man sahara وسحر له من سحر. That person is not from amongst us who practices witchcraft, who practices sorcery, who engages in black magic. So the Sahir himself, he is not from us. Laysa minna. And wala man suhira lahu. Similarly, that person is also not from us, for whom this expert in black magic is practicing black magic. So the one who desires is also not from amongst us, and the one who practices is not from amongst us. And laysa minna can have two meanings. Laysa minna, he is not from amongst us, means he is not on our path. He has deviated from our path. And he has deviated from our path means that he has not been able to remain a perfect Muslim. So I and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in and the Sulaha of the Ummah are on the straight path. Because we are all perfect Muslims. And because he is doing something which is out of line, which could be categorized as Kabira, so he has deviated slightly from the straight path. He is not a perfect Muslim now. He is an imperfect Muslim, because he has committed a Kabira. So he is not from amongst us now. He has slightly deviated. Or sometimes Sahar, the practicing of witchcraft and black magic, could lead to Kufra also. So laysa minna will have its literal meaning, that he is not from amongst us means he is not from the Muslims, he is not from the believers. He has gone out of the fold of Islam. Who? Man sahara. One who practices witchcraft. Wala man suhira lahu. And also that person for whom witchcraft is being practiced. So the one who requests an expert in witchcraft to do something dirty for him, he is also committing a major crime, a major sin, and the one who is fulfilling his request and his desire, and who engages in witchcraft, he is also committing a major sin. According to Imam Abu Mansur Al-Maturidi rahimahullah ta'ala, the amal and the action of witchcraft falls into three categories. Sometimes it could be kufr. Sometimes it could be masiyat, and sometimes it could be bid'ah. So when a person practices witchcraft, when a person practices black magic, then depending on his motive and depending on the words he uses, and depending on the actions that he has to carry out in order to bring the result that he desires to bring, black magic could be kufr, black magic could be masiyat, black magic could be bidah. For example, in order to bring a particular desired result, the person who carries out this witchcraft will have to utter certain words which fall in the category of kufr. Or, in order to bring the desired result through witchcraft,
A person may even have to bow down before shaitan. He may even have to prostrate with the intention of making sajda to shaitan. Now in this case, because in order to bring the desired result, either he is uttering words which constitute kufr shirk, or he is carrying out an action which constitutes kufr or shirk. Therefore, through this action of his, he will become a disbeliever. He will go out of the fold of Islam. So depending on what he has to utter, depending on what he has to do in order to bring the desired effect, and depending on the motive of the one who is engaging in witchcraft, and depending on the motive of the one who is engaging him in witchcraft. For example, a motive could be good and motive could be bad. A bad motive, a person is jealous because apparently a son and father get on well together and they are progressing very much. So he goes to a person who is expert in witchcraft and desires from him the separation of father and son. The motive is very filthy. Motive is very evil. You have another person who resorts to black magic, and he goes to a person who is expert in black magic, and he says that I would like you to separate my son from his friend circle who are day and night engaged in drug dealing. So the motive is good. So in some cases the motive is good, in some cases the motive is evil. In some cases, in order to bring the desired result, a person will have to resort to words which constitute kufr or shirk. Or he may have to resort to words which do not constitute kufr or shirk, but which constitute masiyat and sin. And in certain cases, he will resort to words which neither constitutes kufr or shirk, nor masiyat. The words he resorts to are mubah and permissible. So I do not intend to go into the detail of this subject. It is for the muftis and the fuqaha and the jurists. The gist of the whole discussion is that depending on the words that a person uses in order to bring the desired effect, depending on the actions that a person has to carry out in order to bring the desired effect, sometimes in order to bring the desired effect, the person who is referring to the expert in witchcraft has to murder somebody. Murder a child, in many cases, infant child. And provide blood of this innocent child for the expert in witchcraft for him to carry out what he needs to do to bring the desired result. So depending on what he has to say, depending on what he has to do, and depending on what the motive is, motive of the one engaging in witchcraft, motive of the one who wishes that he engages in witchcraft is, witchcraft or sahar could fall in the category of kufr. It could fall in the category of masiyat. It could fall in the category of bid'ah. If it is kufr or shirk, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. If it is kufr or shirk, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَكْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everything in the hereafter. He will not forgive shirk. a person will go out of the fold of Islam. If it is masiyat, then it is not from the sagair, it is from the kabair. And certain kabair are so filthy that one kabira will lead to another, and that will lead to another, and that will lead to another, either of the same type. So one witchcraft will lead to another witchcraft, it will lead to another witchcraft, it will lead to another witchcraft, or one witchcraft will lead to another witchcraft, it will lead to disassociation from salat, from zakat, from hajj. It will lead to zina, it will lead to adultery, fornication, stealing, theft, lying. And slowly, 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 slowly the heart will become so filthy that he will reach the border of kufr. And it is possible that he may enter the boundary of kufr. And if it is bid'ah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu bid'atin dhalalah." Every bid'ah is going astray. وَكُلُّ ذَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every going astray will lead a person into Jahannam. So in every situation one has to be very, very careful as regards to this sin. It is not like adultery, fornication, stealing, not giving zakah, not performing salah. These are also very severe. One should abstain from them. But witchcraft is a very, very delicate item. Very delicate. A person will not know whether he is leading himself towards kufr, whether he is already in kufr, whether he is committing shirk, whether he has committed shirk. With good motive or with evil motive. In every circumstance, black magic will either be kufr, it will either be masiyat, or it will either be bid'ah. So we should try our utmost to stay away from these things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said in a hadith, it is narrated by Imam Abdul Razzaq rahimahullahu ta'ala in his well-known book, Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, on the authority of Safwan ibn Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ta'allama shay'an min as-sihri." One who learns a part of black magic and witchcraft, a little bit of black magic witchcraft, any part of black magic and witchcraft, qalilan kana aw kathiran, whether it is small in quantity or it is large in quantity, kana akhiru ahdihi min Allah. That is his, the second, the moments before he resumes learning black magic or learning witchcraft, the moments before that, where he was clear of this filth, that is his last connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will lead him to shirk, to kufr, or maybe on the very first lesson, he has already fallen in kufr, he has already fallen in shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, narrated by Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, "Ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat." Abstain from those seven sins which destroys a person. We have discussed this hadith earlier. Ijtanibu, abstain from those seven evils which destroys a person. قالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما هن. The Sahaba رضوان الله تعالى عليهم اجمعين said, O Messenger of Allah, what are these seven sins which will destroy a person? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم enumerated them. First he said, الشرك بالله, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, والسحر, black magic, witchcraft. So this is a very grave sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every person should abstain from becoming an expert in witchcraft or engaging in black magic. Number two, each and every person should stay away from those people who practice black magic, who resort to black magic. One should not try to fulfill his desire by using black magic as a means, because that is also a very major sin. And number three, one should not resort to the amils, those who are experts in writing ta'weez for people. Professional people who do this as a profession, this is what they do, this is their full-time work. One should not resort to people who do ruqiyah, who write ta'weez, who are known as amils, without being sure of their authenticity. Because there are certain amils who practice witchcraft. There are certain amils who practice black magic. And if a person resorts to such an amil without making inquiries, without knowing the true reality of that person, then he will fall in the category of wala man suhira lahu. He will fall in the category of the one mentioned here, alladhi yastasheru, the one who resorts to black magic for the solution to his problems. Listen very carefully to what I am saying to you, my brothers, and also my sisters. Whenever we see a person doing something which is supernatural or something extraordinary, we immediately fall for that person. What is a mu'jiza and what is a karamat? A miracle. Mu'jiza and karamat is miracle. And what is a miracle? Something extraordinary. Something which is supernatural. Something that we normally don't see happening. Something out of this world. Something supernatural. If a Nabi does something which is supernatural, it is known as mu'jiza. And if a Wali who fully adheres to the Sharia brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam does something which is supernatural, then that is called karamat. And if a non-Nabi and a non-Wali, so there is no Nabi throughout the world now. So we are left with only two people, Wali and non-Wali. And who is a Wali who fully complies with the Sharia, who fully complies with the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who fully complies with the teachings of Deen? So if a Wali carries out something which is supernatural, it is karama. And if a non-Wali carries out something, he does something which is supernatural, it is black magic, it is sorcery, and it is witchcraft. Our weakness is, especially those who come from those areas or those who live in those areas where people do not have ilm. Their weakness is that whenever they see somebody doing something which is supernatural, they accept him as a wali, they accept him as a very pious person. Black magic or sorcery or magic, simply magic, is also supernatural. It is not something that you see on a day-to-day basis. It is something out of this world. So karamat is also supernatural and sorcery is also supernatural. Witchcraft is also supernatural. Black magic is also supernatural. Both are supernatural. But there is a very big difference between the two. Why? Because one is haq and the other is batil. So there is a very big difference. What is the difference between the two? In karamat, in miracle, the person who carries out the karamat, he has nothing to do with it. It is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen very carefully to the differences. In karamat, in miracle, when a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something supernatural, it is not he who is doing it. It is the amal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same is the case with the Nabi. When the Nabi carries out something, he does something which is supernatural, it is not his amal. It is the amal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings into existence this supernatural act through the hands and the action of the Nabi, through the hands and the action of the wali. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pick a handful of sand during the battle of Badr, just before the battle of Badr. And he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to throw that handful of sand towards the enemy. There were 1,000 of them. Is it possible for a human to pick up a handful of sand and throw it towards the enemy who are numbering 1,000, and a stone each from that handful of sand goes into each and every eye of the 1,000 enemies? Is it possible? But it happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up a handful of sand and he threw it, and there were approximately 2,000 eyes. One particle, one piece of that sand went into the each and every eye of those who were present from the enemy's ranks. The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ali majmain are observing this supernatural feat taking place on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what does Allah say? Wama ramaita, when you threw that handful of sand, wama ramaita idh ramaita, when you threw that handful of sand towards the rank of the enemy, it was not you who threw it. Walakin Allah rama, it was Allah who threw it. So in miracle, the act belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown or brought into existence on the hands of the Nabi or the Wali. Whereas in sorcery, in black magic, in witchcraft, when a person does something supernatural, then it is he who is doing it, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is he who is. That does not make him more superior to the Nabi. Because there are more differences. This is difference number one. It is he who is doing it, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, second difference. Second difference is that in karamat, in the miracle of a wali, whatever you see is a reality. Whatever you see is a reality. So if you see a staff becoming a snake, it is a reality, it has become a snake. It's not that it is a staff or it is a rope, and through mesmerization or through some kind of deceiving, it is made to look like a snake to you. No. It is in reality a snake. It is real. In karamat, in mojiza, whatever you see is real. Whereas, in black magic, in witchcraft, in sorcery, what you are seeing is not real. Through some kind of expertise that the person has acquired through whatever means he has used, he is deceiving you. And he is making the staff look like a snake, he is making the rope look like a snake. It is not a snake. Difference number three. In miracle, the supernatural thing that you are seeing has come into existence without any means. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, Ya naru kuni bardan, O fire, become cool for my Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Then the fire actually became cool. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any kind of ointment on the body of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. There was no means. The fire actually became cold. And if you see a magician or a sorcerer walk into the fire, then the fire has not become cold. He is using a means to make people think that the fire has become cold. Either he has applied some ointment on his body, if there is any, or he is not in the fire, he is outside the fire, but he is using some means to make you think that he is in the fire. So there is a lot of difference between the two. One is a reality and one is a non-reality. One is haq, the other is batil. So whenever people see something supernatural taking place because of someone, then people assume him to be a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious personality. No. There is only one criteria to judge whether a person is pious or not. And that criteria is adherence to Sharia, adherence to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adherence to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Yazid Bustami, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that if you see somebody walking on the surface of the water, on the ocean, on the river, if you see somebody walking on the lake, on the surface of the water, if you see somebody flying in the air, do not accept him to be the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless his life is in accordance with the Sharia. If he is particular regarding the halal and haram, if he fully adheres to the Sharia brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is unable to fly in the air, he is unable to walk on the surface of the water, he is still the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is able to fly in the air, walk on the surface of the water, enter the fire, but he does not adhere to the Sharia brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot be the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is someone who is practicing black magic, sorcery, witchcraft, whatever you want to call it. So my advice to all my friends, all my brothers, all my sisters, is to beware of the amilin. Beware of the amilin. Some of them are not even amils, but they are very, very crafty. They are very clever. The way they talk with you, they put words in our mouths. They know what to ask, and after asking, they come to a conclusion very quickly. And it's only assumption. And because his assumption was correct, we tend to believe that, oh, he is a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows my problem. Iman is in danger. Iman is in danger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith that man ata kahinan. One who goes to a soothsayer. Who is a soothsayer? Kahin. One who is informed, one who is given certain information by a jinni. So he controls a jinn through various means. He gets hold of a jinn, he controls that jinn, and that jinn gives him certain information. So he will add a few more things to it, and he will say, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. A jinn will try to find out as much as he can regarding a certain aspect, and he will inform this person, and this kahin will say that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. He will say five things, and regarding the two things that the jinni has told him, because the jinni has observed it himself, or the jinni has heard it himself from the people who were talking about it, those two things will come truth. So everybody will say, oh, whatever he says, he is the knower of the ghaib. He is the knower of the ghaib. Kahin. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who comes to the kahin, or one who goes to a sahir, one who practices witchcraft, فَصَدَّقَهُ بِمَا يَقُولُ. And he believes in whatever he is saying with this aqeedah that he is a person who can find out regarding ghaib. فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِرَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Then this person has rejected what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many people refer to the amils. They go to the amils and the amil will say, yes, somebody has done black magic to you. How? Somebody has done black magic to you and I know who has done it. And I know where that black magic is buried. How can he find out? How can he claim to know? How can he claim to know things of the unseen? And then if he is not the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot be karama. Because they freely mix with women. Majority of the amils freely mix with women. If he was a person who was following the Sharia and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one may have assumed that yes, he is the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has granted him this knowledge of the unseen. But he is not a person who is practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can he be the wali of Allah? And if he is not the wali, how can he tell you of the knowledge of the unseen? See, if a person believes that yes, he will tell me, somebody has stolen my money, he will tell me, because he can, then this person has rejected what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ata arrafan, one who goes to a arraf, fortune teller, fasa'alahu an shay'in, and he asks him regarding a certain matter, and when he says that this is what's going to happen, fasaddaqahu, he believes in him. So he has believed that this person can give me knowledge of the unseen. Lam tuqbal lahu salatu arba'ina yawman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept his salat for 40 days. So my friends, be very, very careful in regards to these matters. If somebody is sick in our home, then turn to the doctors. Go to the physicians. Go to the homeopath. Go to the herbalist. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only because a doctor is not able to diagnose a particular illness does not mean that it is an outside effect. Sometimes a person always finds himself in anxiety. A person feels that he cannot find peace of mind. He cannot find tranquility. Sometimes a person finds that whenever he's looking for a job, he always fails. Sometimes the proposal that come for the daughter always rejected. The daughter is always rejecting, or is the other way around. In this world, we see both goodness and evil. Khair and shar. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have sent you into this world to test you. Sometimes we give you goodness to see whether you are grateful or not. And sometimes we send calamity upon you to see whether you are patient or not. This is where Allah is testing our patience. And we are resorting to unlawful means. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The anxiety that we are suffering from may be because of our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problems in risk, in finding a job, in passing examination, in finding suitable marriage partners for our children, the difficulties we are finding could be because of some filth we are involved in. Repent. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. The solution to problem is number one, taqwa. So make your life well. Solution to problem number two is istighfar. And solution to problem number three is dua. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I'm always sick. The doctors can't diagnose. What's the problem? Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. Take me to a doctor who will diagnose my sickness. Make a lot of istighfar so Allah can become happy with us. من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله من كل ذيك مخرجا. Solution to problem is استغفار. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا. Solution to problem is تقوى. الدعاء ينفع مما نزل ومما لم ينزل. Solution to problem is دعاء. So we can turn to the عامل, but we cannot turn to the creator of the عامل. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt taqwa, istighfar, and utilize the asbab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And number two, if you feel that you need to resort to an amil, then first, go and consult a God-fearing alim. And only if he feels that yes, you need to get yourself checked out by somebody who is an expert in this field, then go. And only where he asks you to go, if he knows anybody authentic. Don't go to anyone and anywhere. Otherwise, they will rob you of your iman. They will rob you of your wealth. And if a female is involved, they will rob you of your honor as well. I am not saying there is no such thing as ruqiyah. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's riwayah is in Bukhari Sharif. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu anhu says a group of us, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, were traveling and we passed by a locality and we said, we are hungry, can you please give us something to eat? They said no. They refused any type of hospitality. After a while, a young girl came running to us. We were just on the outskirts of the city, all of us hungry. A young girl came running to us and she said that our chief has suddenly become sick because of a sting from a scorpion. Now when a scorpion stings, the poison begins to flow in the body. And somebody who knows ruqiyah means he will read something and blow. He will read and blow. He will read and blow. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu, wa Iyaka nasta'in, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And slowly, 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 that poison will go out of the body from that very place where the scorpion has bitten. This is called ruqya. If somebody is sick, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do ruqya. Bismillah ya raqiq min kulli shayin yuziq. Allahumma adhi bil ba'as rabban nas ishfi anta shafi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would rub his hand like this to indicate that I'm trying to take out the illness from the body. And he would blow on the sick as well. Ruqya. So if the words used in the ruqya refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is permissible. If they constitute shirk or kufr, or if in ruqya the words that are used, the meaning of which is unknown, then it is not permissible. Because if the meaning is unknown, it's possible there is shirk. So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he did ruqya. And that person became healthy, the chief became healthy. So the people with Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, we didn't know you were a Raqi, you were an Amil. We've never seen you practice ruqya before. So he said, yes, I am not a Raqi. So what did you do? How did you cure him? He said, I recited Suratul Fatiha. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Suratul Fatiha is Suratul Shifa. So I tell all my friends, why do you need to go to an Amil when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made each and every one of you Amil by teaching you Suratul Fatiha. Read Suratul Fatiha, blow on the water and give it to the sick. Read Suratul Fatiha, blow on your hands and rub over your body. So ruqya is permissible, amaliyat is permissible, but you need to go to the right person for the right reasons. Not only assumption. Especially those people who come from those places where ignorance is prevalent. Anything that seems to be unsolvable for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, it's an outside effect. Sometimes it takes months to solve something. So try to safeguard yourself and your family from such amil who may rob you of everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, safeguard us from sihr, safeguard us from resorting to sahir, a person who practices black magic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from other people practicing black magic upon us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from resorting to those means for solution to our problems, which may lead us into kufr, into shirk, into disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which may take us far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.